take a seat. Hi again. The name's still Sadie. You are still at the well. Woo! So I did a fun thing today. I got a text message from like five of my friends that were like, hey, there's extra vaccines. You could go get one. And I was like, yeah, okay, cool. And then I went on my Facebook and I saw that there were extra vaccines. And I was like, okay, I'm going to zoom over there so that I can get myself dose numero uno of this vaccine. So I like entered the place more quickly than I hear a lot of other people entered. I was not waiting in a line for like 2 hours outside. But I just remember getting there and being like, this is kind of a big deal. Like this thing that's happening, I should like take it all in and remember it all because someday maybe my grandkids will ask me about this. Who knows? I don't know. I had some like foresight to be like amazingly aware of everything going on. And it was like the most organized chaos I've ever experienced in my life. And then all of a sudden I wasn't there anymore. I was like driving home with a Band-Aid on my arm, like, see ya. And then I come back to the office and I was like, man. Well, I went to eat lunch, come here. And I was like, man, I feel a little bit weird. I still feel a little bit weird. I feel like I have had an adrenaline rush for the last 4 hours and it's still going. I also feel very tired. So those things usually opposite currently happening in my body. And I feel very like wobbly, like I'm gonna fall down at all times. So if any of those things happen, don't be alarmed. That's what's going on in my body. But you don't care about that. What you care about is the book of James. And we are in our final week of the book of James, concluding our series. And I've had a lot of fun doing this, and I hope that you have too. For me, it feels like the last few weeks have been full of a lot of really practical wisdom. You've heard from a couple of my friends on different ways that you can follow the Lord. And I'm really appreciative of all of those voices. Because sometimes faith can seem like really disconnected from real life. I feel like sometimes we decide that it's just this separate part of us and we live our lives, but we believe in God and those are somehow different. But I'm hoping that you've gotten some really practical ways to like embody your faith over the last however many weeks we've been in this series. So tonight we're going to finish off the series by reading James chapter 5, verses 12 through 20. So it'll be on the screen, or you can flip to it in your own Bibles. This is the conclusion. He says, "But most of all, my brothers and sisters, never take an oath by heaven or earth or anything else. Just say a simple yes or no, so that you will not sin and be condemned. Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. Are any of you sick? Well, you should call the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. And if you have committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Elijah, a guy in the Old Testament, he was a human as we were, and yet he prayed earnestly that no rain would fall, and none fell for 3.5 years. Then, when he prayed again, the sky sent down rain, and the earth began to yield its crops. My dear brothers and sisters, if someone among you wanders away from the truth and is brought back, you can be sure that whoever brings the sinner back from wandering will save that person from death and bring about the forgiveness of many sins." Let's pray together. God, we thank you for just this opportunity to gather once again. We thank you that you've given us a lot of practical wisdom over the last few weeks, and I pray that all of our hearts would be open and willing to hear from what you have to say tonight as well. I pray that you would give us really practical ways to engage your presence throughout the week, and God, that we would just continue to notice where you are and what you're doing. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing to you, O God. Amen. So all throughout this series, we've been learning what exactly matters to God. So far, how we live our lives matters a lot. What comes out of our mouth, our words, those really matter to God. Integrity matters to God. Throughout most of my life, I've like sort of been a person that a lot of people come to with like secrets or things that they need to talk about that they wouldn't really tell a lot of other people. And I don't know what it is about me, but like there are a lot of times that I find myself just like in a conversation with someone and then they will like pivot and go real deep. And I'm like, oh, that's where we're gonna go. Okay, here I am, ready to listen to whatever you have to say over the next 5 to 35 minutes. I don't know how long this is gonna take. So I hear a lot of private things about people's lives, and then that started to happen even more after I graduated college and I became a professional Christian, AKA working in ministry full time. People confide in me a lot. I have a lot of secrets locked up in my brain that just live there. I don't think about them often, but they're up there, taking up some space. But I'm actually really glad that I can serve that purpose for people, because it means that they feel safe to share sensitive information. And so I think that a really good way for us to consider what integrity is to consider whether or not people feel safe around us. Like, are people safe with you? And if you're a person of integrity, the answer is probably yes. People feel safe with you. And that's an amazing thing. It's a quality that we get directly from the Lord, I'd say. Because what's true is that we can always feel safe bringing our troubles to God. He is like the ultimate trustworthy one. And so if we are emulating trustworthiness to the people around us, that means that's a quality that God has given to us. And that's amazing. James pushes it even further than just talking to God. He tells us, confess your sins to one another and pray for each other. Our words really matter to God, what we say. What comes out of our mouth steers our life. Proverbs 16:24. So a really cool thing about the book of James is that it's basically like considered the New Testament version of Proverbs, both very practical books. But Proverbs 16:24 says, kind words are like honey, sweet to the soul and healthy for the body. Our words reveal our heart. And we have the opportunity every single day to either refresh or destroy. The words that come out of our mouth really matter to God. Every spring, I decide that I would like to grow a vegetable garden in my backyard. I'm like, you know who has a green thumb? Me. I can do it. It's going to be so fun. And Josh is like, yeah, you can. We spent an absurd amount of money on soil last year. I was like, obviously we need new soil, but also mushroom compost. I got real nerdy about what I was planting my veggies in. So I start with all this motivation. I'm like, yes, I will get this ton of like soil dumped in my backyard, and I'll obviously have my husband and father-in-law spread it all, because that is amazing. So that happened, and my brother-in-law, Joel, they did that while I supervised. Highly motivated for them to do that. Then I like went and I bought all the stuff, plotted out the garden, was really excited about it. And then from like May 31st on, my motivation just like steady decrease. I did not, you know what you have to do? You have to weed your garden. That's a thing. I don't like that. I also really don't like bees, which are helpful to be around things because they pollinate. I don't really enjoy spiders. I don't really enjoy any of the bugs in my garden, but I'm pretty stoked when a head of broccoli comes up. And I'm like, okay, yeah, we're having broccoli for dinner. It's very exciting. In fact, a couple of years ago, If you don't tend to the weeds in your garden, they continue to grow. This is a true thing. And like, you need to tend to the weeds in your garden more than like once a week even. It's like, you should be out there all the time, talking to your little plants, pulling the thistles that grow next to them. I'd rather do other things, surprisingly. So, this is what my garden looked like in the summer of 2017. There should be a photo. No? Oh, this is a big bummer. Okay, I'll describe it for you. I have a garage, about normal garage size, fits one car, tall, like one story. So my garden is behind my garage. I measured it last year, like 10 feet by 20 feet, 15 feet by 20 feet, that's the plot of garden. The thistles that grew in my garden covered every inch of that garden and grew to be about 6.5 feet tall. That was fun for me. I didn't know that they were growing because I was leading a mission trip, like a good Christian girl, to Africa. And so I was gone for a whole month with a group of students. And I had roommates living at my house. And I was like, hey guys, you should weed the garden while I'm gone. And like mow the lawn. But we're not talking about how the lawn didn't get mowed tonight. We're talking about how she didn't pull any weeds. Yes, I did get home from 4 weeks in Africa and the grass was to my mid-shin. I was very upset. I later learned that my neighbor across the street came over, asked her if she needed help mowing the lawn, to which she yelled at him. And I'm still trying to recover from that. I'm still trying to be like, hey, that wasn't me. She was blonde, I'm blonde, I'm much nicer. She's the one that yelled at you. She definitely doesn't live here anymore. Please love me. So I come home and I'm like, oh yeah, the grass is touching my legs, which I have not had that experience before. So I go to bed, wake up, mow the lawn, get to the backyard, and I'm like, oh, she didn't weed the garden. That's what it looked like. I don't think you can see it. Those are all thistles. That's like half of them down. We just like, Juliana is a real good friend. She came over and she helped me because the thistles had bloomed, so there were bees. It was horrible, so you could really only do it at dusk, which is that. This is what it looked like at the end. Look at that garage. There were still some things that needed to like be chopped down. But that's the plot of garden that we're dealing with. So if you don't weed gardens, thistles apparently grow to be like 6.5 feet tall. And you'll spend a lot of your life weeding those out. Some plants are good, like the broccoli, the peppers, the lettuce, the kale. You may think that kale is bad. It is good for you. Some plants are poisonous. Some plants are deadly. You can't just go about with no knowledge of plants and decide to eat everything. You may, in fact, die. But this one thing is true. Whatever you water is going to grow. So like, even after 2017, I have still committed to a vegetable garden. By the way, no vegetables grew that year. But they have grown in the past. And like, even if I'm just watering the plants and the weeds are still there, the weeds are gonna continue to grow. Like, you have to pluck those suckers out of the ground daily or they will grow taller than the stuff you actually want. And weeds generally grow way quicker than vegetables. They have less intricate root systems. So that summer I learned a lot about thistles and how they just, basically their roots just go straight into the ground. So like if you get to the root of it, all you have to do is like wiggle, 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 pull up, and then there's like 6 inches of root. You did it. Trees, on the other hand, have root systems that go out and down. They're really intricate. We like trees, so we're not trying to pluck those out. broccoli has a more intricate root system than thistles. So weeds grow faster, but they're less secure. Whatever you water is going to grow. And I also think that that's true for our lives. So if your life is full of thistles and you're trying to grow some flowers in the garden, the thistles will just continue to grow and grow and grow and take over. If you water grace, you will be a person who shows grace to other people. You will embody grace. If you start to water hatred, you will become an extremely negative, hate-filled person. The things that you pay attention to, the things that come out of your mouth the most, those things are shaping you. And so if you're watering those different things in your lives, they're going to continue to grow and grow and grow and take over the good stuff. Some of my friends and I, we think in terms of this category, when it comes to people, that your greatest strength can also become your greatest weakness. So I'll give you an example. I have like an amazing ability to focus. It's pretty cool. Sometimes I'm so focused that I like legitimately cannot hear anything going on around me. I do not know that there are other human beings around me if that happens to be the case. I don't know that you exist. If I am focusing on a task, there is nothing else around here. And I'm pretty sure that honestly, Lydia and I have like gotten in fights because she's like, yeah, so I stood in your doorway, said multiple sentences, you kind of looked like you responded, and then I walked away and you didn't know that I was there. And I'm like, oh yeah, no. Like if I did not look at you from my computer, you did not exist. Because I was like in the zone. But that wasn't very impressive to her. It actually just hurt her feelings. So we had to like, I had to apologize for being negligent when I'm supposed to be there for her. And I'm trying to be better now. And I'm pretty sure that it annoys Josh too. Like if I'm reading at home, he could come in and be like, Sadie, I'm home. And I'm just like, and he's like, hello. So I like legit need to be like high key interrupted in order to know that you exist if I'm like really focused. And so focus is really good for some tasks. Like if I decide that I'm going to be very motivated and write a sermon before Thursday, happens approximately never, but sometimes I try. Focus would be good for those sorts of things, but extreme amounts of focus aren't really great for other things, like when my students come into my office, try to talk to me about something, think that I'm responding to them, leave, and I have no knowledge of the conversation. And maybe some of you consider yourselves pretty bad at focusing. That's a thing that a lot of people experience. Can't stay on task, maybe. But I do think that there's one thing that's generally true for a lot of us in this room. We're really great at focusing on ourselves. And sometimes people say that pastors really only have one sermon and they talk about it in a bunch of different ways. If that is true, mine is likely titled, Pay Attention. I think it is so important for us to pay attention to what God is doing in our lives. What God's doing, not just in our lives, but in the world around us, in the lives of our community, in the lives of our campus, in our city. So I have a question for you tonight, and the question is, are we so focused on ourselves that we forget to notice all that God is doing around us? Are we so focused inward that we can't even tell what the Holy Spirit's doing in our roommate, in our professors? Like, how distracted are we? Because you can be focused, or we can call it distracted, but your attention is being taken up in both of those. James, in the the part we just read, he writes about confession. I grew up in the Roman Catholic Church, and so I'm pretty well acquainted with the practice of confession. It was pretty normal to me. I was expected to confess to a priest regularly, especially if I was going to receive communion that week. That was just like a normal practice in my life. Pretty fruitful. Some people have negative experiences with it. I had really positive experiences because I learned that I needed to continue to rely on God all the time. Protestants, in general, practice confession less than our Catholic brothers and sisters. And if you happen to consider yourself an evangelical Christian, if you've heard those things, it's likely that you practice confession even less. So, or maybe not at all. Because in that realm of faith, it's like, okay, yes, you confess that you're a sinner and that Christ died for you, and then basically it's like smooth sailing from there. You did the big confession, and the little stuff we're not really taught to pay too much attention to, or it sounds like we can fix it on our own. That's a conversation for like a different topic, but I just kind of wanted to tease that out in a very basic way. If you have questions about that, we can talk about it. But there's a really important part of confession that maybe we miss, which is repentance. So confession could just be like talking about the things that you did wrong. But a really basic definition for repentance is being sorry enough to quit. Or you could consider it as like you're going this way and you decide to turn around and go the other way. Those are kind of two ways to consider repentance. But when it comes to repentance, what we're doing is we realize that we are participants and that we contribute to the brokenness and the sin around us. It requires us to take responsibility for our lives, which is a lot of what James is saying, right? What we do with our life really matters. And sometimes the things that we do, well, everything that we do has consequences. They could be positive or negative, but there are consequences. Most of you in this room are in college, and there's still a lot of life ahead of you. There's a lot of trials that you'll go through, pain that you'll experience. There's also a ton of joy. There's a lot of excitement. There's all the emotions tied up in life for you to experience. But one thing that I can absolutely guarantee is that God's presence will be part of all of that. Whether or not you choose to acknowledge it is up to you. But hear me tonight, it's really, really important to pay attention. Because if you want to be on this journey with God for your life, and you want to move forward, and maybe you're a person who's like begging God to show you the next thing. Maybe you're just feeling so stuck, and you're like, I feel like I've been standing here forever, like, God, where are you? Just cry out to God tonight and ask him one more time, what am I supposed to be doing, God? And if he doesn't directly answer you, just like do something. See how that goes. If it goes bad, do something else. If it keeps going well, keep doing that thing. That's called like active discernment. You can like actively move without hearing God. Anyway, that's a tangent. So tonight, before we start singing together again, I want to invite you to pray with each other. I want us to take James' words seriously. So get into groups of two or three or four. Five would probably be too many. And talk about where you've seen God at work in the last week. Confide in one another about what you need prayer for. Take those needs to God through prayer together and trust that he's working all things together for your good, whether or not you can see it in that moment or tomorrow or next week, but to continue to trust and take things to God in prayer. Because that's what we do. This is what the Christian life is. We take things before God constantly, time and time and time again, and we trust that he's transforming us. We trust that he's speaking into our lives. We trust that he's guiding our steps. But we can't be guided by someone we don't know, someone we don't interact with. So I'm going to pray for us quickly, and then I invite you to get into groups. The band doesn't know this, but I'll just have Josh like play a little guitar behind that so it's not just like quiet, but you'll be talking anyway. So groups of 2, 3, or 4, talk about where you've seen God at work or confide in one another about what you need prayer for. Just make sure to be praying together. I don't want to give you too many rules because then you'll follow all the rules. I just kind of want you to do whatever feels right. Cool? Cool. Let's pray. God, I ask that you would speak to us tonight. That if there are any of us in the room who feel like we haven't heard you ever or in a really, really long time, I pray that your presence would feel real and tangible and good. That your love and your peace would just take up space in this room tonight. That we would grow closer to one another and closer to you through praying together and confessing. God, that we could celebrate the good things together, that if any of us are happy, we would praise you. God, I thank you for the gift of community, that we don't have to do this by ourselves, that we don't have to figure out how to hear from you by ourselves or to obey you by ourselves, but that we are in this journey together. And so I pray that you would speak to us tonight, because we trust that you're here and that your Holy Spirit has things to say. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. All right, feel free to group up and pray.